was due to begin by the middle of the year, run at one of Wallonga Tamariki's youth justice facilities. Critics have said they won't work to prevent reoffending, and both the Human Rights Commission and the Chief Children's Commissioner said they had no input, but do harbour major concerns. More about that in a moment. Tano Tuiono is with us for a kōrero. Hey, brother, tēnā koe. Well, your bill brought the politicians together more than free drinks at Bellamy's.
I missed that, man. I had free drinks and then it faded out.
And then it faded out. Okay, well, fair enough. Now, your bill has brought the politicians together, and some surprise New Zealand First and ACT supported to Select Committee this reinstatement of mana for people from Western Samoa. I'll just bring us up to speed there, please, Tana.
Oh, yeah, well, it was a historic day yesterday for our whanaunga, from Te Mananui a Te Reo from Samoa. It was awesome to have the community in the public gallery, and also we had the Speaker of the House from Samoa in the public gallery and members of Parliament from Samoa in the public gallery as well. The bill managed to get support from across the House except for one party, the National Party. So bad luck for them, I think. I think the message of making sure that we do the right thing was heard from all the political parties. Because here's the thing: you had a group of citizens, New Zealand citizens, who are recognised as citizens by the Privy Council, and then they had that citizenship taken away. It's just unjust. This is about rectifying that injustice in the past, that, you know, the Western Samoa and Citizenship Act in 1982 is just straight out racist. So we have to repeal that and then also find a way to support those kaumātua that were impacted by the bill, by that act.
Yeah, just to update that, if you were unaware, back in 1982, for people born in the then Western Samoa whose citizenship was removed, what was the intent there? Why was their citizenship removed all those years ago? And you're looking to have it reinstated, but what happened in 82? Can you succinctly talk that one through for our listeners?
Well, I mean, I think we're all familiar with colonisation and imperialism. So during
colonisation we are, but imperialism, a lot of, you know, it's not a term we use all that much. What's the difference?
The difference is that New Zealand had imperial aspirations at the turn of the century. So as a part of the World War One effort, New Zealand took over and administered Samoa. It was a colonial territory of Germany. So we administered Western Samoa, was then known as Western Samoa. The Americans administered what we now know as American Samoa. But the New Zealand administration of Samoa was so terrible that Prime Minister Helen Clark had to apologise in 2002. When I mean terrible, they made a mess of quarantining the island during the Spanish flu outbreak, which resulted in around about 20% of the population being impacted, dying in Samoa. You had the Mo movement, which was a movement, Te Tangatiratanga movement, their independence movement, which was organised to get independence from New Zealand because New Zealand was so bad at it. The Germans were better at running Samoa than New Zealand was. And then they arrested one of their rangatira, one of their ariki, Tupu Tamasese, and they put him into Mount Eden prison. And it was Maui Pomare who actually petitioned to get him, get their rangatira, get their ariki out of prison and for him to go back to Samoa. It's a very, very interesting history, but a lot of people don't know about that history, and in particular, that connection with the likes of Sir Maui Pomare and that connection with getting that rangatira out of Mount Eden prison to go back and to lead the Mo movement in Samoa. So it all comes from that as well. It's a colonial perspective that we need to unravel. And of course, we had the apologies for the door raids, which happened in the last parliament, which we totally supported, and that was an important thing to do. But there's still more to do as well. And I look at this from a whakapapa perspective. We have whakapapa right across Te Mananui, Aotearoa, and supporting our whanaunga and supporting that whakapapa is important for me and important for the Greens, and I think important for Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe. Well, it is a little bit embarrassing that the coalition partners for Luxon's crew went a different way, but in some ways encouraging also, because surely common sense must prevail here. You must be pretty satisfied that it is getting some parliamentary support, but it's still a long way to go to get that enacted into legislation. It's going to select committee. A traffic light system for attendance. You're an education spokesperson for the Greens. What do you make of this?
What can you make about it? It's not a good system. We need to make sure that there's there needs to be more resourcing. So increased data reporting, all of that kind of stuff as well. And everybody wants to be able to support our schools, and making sure that our kids are at school is an important thing. But you've got to have all those wraparound services. So we have a government here stripping back and pulling apart the public service. And it's important that those services are actually supported so that people can get to school if they have issues. And I think about students who for whatever reason, no fault of their parents, are unable to go to school as well, and what this will do to them. I think there is a lot more to do here than just sort of having a very broad and generic approach to school attendance.
Tēnā koe. The polls are looking good for the Greens, aren't they? A slip in popularity, or a plateau, really, I guess, for the Nats. But the Greens look to go up 2 percentage points. I know we're a long way off an election, but any movement of that size must be encouraging, there.
Yes, it is encouraging. And I think us putting our heads down and doing our homework, representing and pushing for our communities is resonating with people. The incoherence of the government, I think, is showing as well. You've got a Prime Minister that just shoots from the hip. He thinks he's the CEO of a fancy company, and we're all shareholders. Can't run a country like that. You can't run a country like that at all. And that, how can I put this? That type of leadership is not what we need. You need to have a Prime Minister and not a CEO running this place.
And you're the spokesperson for the Greens on foreign affairs. So, what are you making of Winston's kōrero, or even the rhetoric coming re-Gaza? It's been scant at times from New Zealand, as we've sort of seemingly sat by idly while Tamariki being killed in their thousands in Gaza. Finally, we do get some comment, too little too late, or appropriate timing.
We've always supported that call from the communities here for an immediate ceasefire, so it was encouraging to hear the Minister for Foreign Affairs saying that up at the UN as well, and to call out the intransigence of the UN Security Council. They have been slow, but if you look at what's happening there as well, that even the Americans are getting annoyed with Israel, and this is their main ally. They get all their bombs, guns, and all that military wear from the US. They fund them in the billions, and even they are getting annoyed with Israel, because this is the first time with this UN resolution that recently went through where the US didn't block a resolution against Israel. So there is movement there, diplomatic. Too late, of course. We wanted to see this action months and months and months ago, because you're right, there's thousands and thousands of children who are being killed. There's over 32,000, 37,000, those are the numbers of people that are being killed, and not to mention all the children that now are orphans. There's I've heard numbers of over 17,000 of these children no longer have parents. So it's appalling. It's appalling what's happening, and the use of starvation as a tactic against the Palestinians is horrific. And I think we need to continue to call out the US's role in this. Yes, they're starting to make noises against Israel, but they have been funding them to the tune of billions and billions of dollars and enabling their genocidal behaviour.
Tēnā koe. Hey, well, yeah, I think you raise a good point. Just be mindful, Te Hōmā, that war keeps the wheels of industry turning, and in the States, the billions of dollars generated by the armament industry, they have to sell their arms somewhere, and we know where they are going and the destruction it's causing. So, well, it's right to say, hey, pause, cease fire. There was some areas where, obviously, Biden and the US are complicit in what is happening there. Any other thoughts you want to share before we wrap up for this week, Yehua?
Well, I'm in the Foreign Affairs Defence Committee, so I'm trying to open up a select committee inquiry so we can talk about our approach to Gaza as well. So sort of seeing that movement in the right in our direction, I should say, from the Minister for Foreign Affairs is a good thing. But I think there's more action that we can do. We could support South Africa, for example, at the ICJ. They're doing important work there. We should support them. And we also sort of have a special visa category status so that Palestinian families here can bring their relatives from the war zone over here to Aotearoa so they can be safe.
Tēnā koe. Good catching up with you again, brother. All the best until next time. Thanks so much.
Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi. You're 603 Urban Māori Radio.